141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of European football as the Premiership season return gets ever closer. Kilmarnock and St Mirren in continental action, both level after their first legs. James Tavernier is fully committed to Rangers despite suggestions he could leave, and Kasper Schmeichel says there was always something about Celtic as he gets set for his competitive debut. Speaking of competitive debuts, we've got Partick Thistle's Brian Graham with us, and a safe, mature, sensible pair of hands to guide him through his first show in Gordon Dale.
Yeah, delighted that Brian's here. A Thistle legend. Can't say that about me. I had a terrible time at the club. But what is it, 2 days now away from the big kickoff? Tynecastle, Rangers v Hearts. Lot of exciting games Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Still a bit to talk about transfers. Kilmarnock and St Mirren in action tonight in Europe, so we wish them all the very, very best. But I'm really looking forward to the new season, and I'm sure this man sitting to my right is the exact same.
Very straightforward. Genuinely, we don't really know where your usual Thursday night sparring partner is. He was up Kilimanjaro. We thought he was down from Kilimanjaro. He's not here. He's not in Clydebank. That's all I know. And we thought, well, just keep it Partick Thistle. See, that's the difference, because he turns up with a kind of staff tracksuit on. But
good,
compared to this guy, not only captain leading the line for the men's team, he's off to train the women's team after the show tonight. A busy man.
It never stops, Gordon. But
and you could squeeze us in
a night with a dazzler, just as long as he keeps his feet away, we'll be all right.
I'm watching you too. Yeah, under that
desk. He's looking good, this guy, isn't he? He knows how to dress. Cup final, I remember sitting watching it in the TV,
the Sky Sports Cup final. Yeah,
yeah. And I was so impressed with the way this man dressed in the dugout. A little bit like myself years gone by. And then he turns up tonight looking $1 million.
That's just because Partick Thistle bought his suit. But anyway, 01419511025, that is the number you need. Maybe an extra incentive for you Partick Thistle fans. It's been quite a week for you, actually. So maybe you could give us a shout and let us know what's on your mind. Anyone heading along to St Mirren tonight, love to hear from you. Get your calls over to us if you can. By the wonders of modern technology, maybe you Kilmarnock fans who are heading to the game as well could do similar. But I do expect it to be a particularly big night in Paisley, so please do pick up that phone, 01419511025. Just in a general romantic sense, how good does it feel to have European football back in the town? It's been a long, long time coming. And then more importantly, more specifically, can you do it tonight? What's the game going to be like? Give us a call and let us No, it's that time of the week where players start doing interviews, whether it's with their own internal media, whether it's with the wider media as well, looking ahead to the weekend. Rangers fans, I wonder what you make of the simple fact that James Tavernier pops up and does the big captain's interview on Rangers media channels today, because lots of you thought he was going to leave. There's been all these suggestions and links with other clubs, and it maybe looked like it was heading that way, like it did with Conor Goldson. He's spoken about his commitment to the club, so I wonder what you make of the James Tavernier situation. Give us a call right now, Rangers fans. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Kasper Schmeichel, talking about always having a soft spot, so to speak, for Celtic, and looking forward to getting going. And anything else that is out there at all, you know where we are. 0141 951 1025. Huge night of European football though, Gordon. Like I said, it's just particularly because it's here, it's in Glasgow in the West. What a night we should have in Paisley.
Yeah, both games evenly balanced, Gordon. I think that St Mirren will obviously get into their game very much the favourites against a part-time side at home. Terrific crowd expected down in Paisley tonight. And then it'll be up to Kilmarnock away from home. 1-1. Second half at Rugby Park, I thought Kilmarnock played very well indeed. Derek's a very experienced manager, knows how to get the job done. It will be difficult, of that there's no doubt. They'll need to ride their luck a little bit. But I'm just hoping that Kilmarnock and St Mirren can do us proud tonight.
Definitely, I think I caught the tail end of the Kilmarnock game for the last 20 minutes, and I thought they were going to get the winner. I was actually praying that we get the winner. Obviously, when it's a Scottish side in Europe, you're hoping that they do well, and fingers crossed that both teams tonight, they can get through the ties and hopefully get a wee run in Europe.
It's always difficult, Gordon. We've been through it all over the last number of seasons with our so-called smaller teams when they go into Europe. There is a a sort of level of opposition that you don't want to be disrespectful to, but this is a tie St Mirren really obviously would be looking to qualify from. It's Icelandic opposition. They've gone there and stayed in the tie, back to Paisley, a sellout crowd. This is not one of those like hard luck stories against a crack European outfit. St Mirren should win this one tonight.
100%. Look, you can't be overconfident. We know that in football, anything can happen. We've seen it before, but looking at the first leg, they could have scored a lot of goals, created a lot of chances, could have lost one or two, to be quite honest with you, Gordon. But they're at home, packed house, good atmosphere, terrific night for football. The pitch will be immaculate. I think that St Mirren will win this, and I think they'll win it comfortably. But you cannot take anything for granted. You've got to start in the right manner, and if they do that, then I think they'll get the victory they're looking for.
No, definitely, I agree with Gordon. I think the town of Paisley would have been rocking today.
Yeah.
The sun was out. I'm sure the beer gardens would have been full. So the punters will be going there in high hopes that they'll get through the tie. And I agree with Gordon. I think they'll do it quite comfortably. I think it'll be 3-0.
A few early finishes, a few days of annual leave, a few sunburnt heads perhaps heading along to the gate. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's one of those grounds, Gordon. See if you fill it, it's a very good atmosphere. I've been there when the atmosphere is really buzzing and everybody's about it. And it really is onto the players. As a player, you're coming out that tunnel and you're seeing a packed house, and most of them's got to be your support right behind you, giving the encouragement that you need. It's a wonderful night of football. I've got to say, in all my years of playing, I used to love playing when it was a very nice night. Not forget the rain and the wind. I just think that
it's a weather report.
Yeah, okay. Tomorrow will be a bit cloudy.
Right.
But I've got to say, against a part-time side, and I'm not being disrespectful to them, St Mirren at home, Premier League side, they had a terrific season last year. Experienced manager should have enough.
Okay, come on then. 01419511025. That's the number you need. You can tweet us as always at Clyde SSB. If for some reason you're just catching up this week, that's us fully back into the normal routine. 2 hours midweek, looking ahead to the weekend. So whatever you've got for us, we would love to hear it. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Kasper Schmeichel, of course, of the big European games. We'll actually go live to St Mirren in the not too distant future and get teams and so on. Rangers fans, I wonder what you made of James Tavernier's interview today, because there was a real feeling, you can correct me if I'm wrong, both of you and listeners, that he was probably heading out the door the same way Conor Goldson was. There was bids apparently going in, and it looked like it would maybe be a matter of time. But he sat down with Rangers TV to discuss pre-season, return from injury, and yeah, safe to say it's caused a bit of a stir on social media. What doesn't? But I just wonder, Rangers fans, how you feel about that situation. Do you actually think he will be here for the coming campaign? And what do you think about that? So give us all your thoughts, please, and we'll kick it off with Stuart, who is on the line. How are you, Stuart?
Hi, good evening, lads. How are you? All right?
Good, good, good. What are you thinking tonight then? Is it all kind of transfer business related?
Yes, I'm quite happy. Possibly 10 signing could be coming with a proper boy, which I think it will happen. And I still think signing will be at Ibrox, maybe after the Hearts game. I think that's what's holding it up. Possibly what's holding it up. But what I would like to see is the last two transfers between Celtic and Rangers, right? I'm not being bad or anything, right? But I think these people that say that Celtic have got all the money, they're supposed to have 50, 60 million, even Hugh Keevan has said that, but if they've got 50, 60 million, they'd be buying big transfers, so why not? Possibly could be they've got 57 or 58 players in the squad, and Rangers have got 37, 38 players in the squad. That could be possibly what's holding it up. But what I say is, I would like to say that the Rangers board are doing well. A lot of people are not backing them up, which is wrong. This manager is trying to build a team which his last two clubs he's been with, he's done the same. He won them a league, if you look back. And I think he's going to do it this season. I think he will, because he's not a man to be say right or wrong, but I think he's going to do a lot for Rangers, which a lot of managers have not done with Beal, Van Bronckhorst. I think this man knows what he's doing. He wants to clear it out. He wants to try and see a different transfer on the board and what Rangers are doing with different. I mean, look at it. Onions have been amazing. I mean, 10 signings could possibly sign between now and Saturday. Mm-hmm.
They need to be good though, don't they? And I'm not saying they're not, but obviously it can only be described as amazing once you know if they're going to contribute positively.
I think they will. I think they will. A lot of people, maybe that's why Tavernier came out and said what he had said. I could possibly think he could possibly stay. I mean, that man's done a lot for the club. A lot of people don't like him, and a lot of people not. But I think he's done. I think he's been one of the best Rangers players since David Cooper.
Who do you get to replace James Tavernier? With his outlet and the goals he scored for the club over a number of years, I just think it'd be crazy for Rangers to get rid of James Tavernier. I know he's not had much success in silverware as being a Rangers captain, but at the same time, his numbers don't lie for a right back. I would keep James Tavernier if I was the Rangers manager, but at the same time, you could see what the manager's doing. He's getting a lot of big characters out the changing room. Maybe he wants more control in there, getting the big characters out. He's obviously slashing the wage bill. But going back to my original points with Tavernier, I would be definitely trying to keep him.
More generally, Gordon, what did you make of that today? You know, social media is what it is, and I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all, but you can't ignore the fact that this interview with the Rangers captain pops up, and some people might shrug shoulders and say, well, it's normal, he's the captain, he's still here, that's what he would do a couple of days before the season. But if you just look at the way the Rangers fans are receiving that, they almost see it like some sort of sign that he's definitely hanging around, when probably this time last week, that's when there was reports about bids coming in, Conor Goldson had gone, and it felt like there was, you know, a real mood that James Tavernier would follow. How have you felt about it in the last week or so?
I said on Tuesday I thought that Tavernier would lead Rangers out at Tynecastle. I do believe that. I'm totally on board with Brian. I've said it for day one. There's mixed opinions about him. He's been here a long time. It's time for him to move on with Goldson. Fresh blood coming in. They talk about Sterling can play right back. I take all that on board. But I think if you look at the overall picture, Tavernier, I think, scored 20-odd goals last year or something. He scored a lot of goals from right back. You've got to replace that right away. First and foremost, you've got... So you're losing that out of your team.
You're not even getting a striker that's doing that.
Yeah, you're losing that out of your team. Now, I thought that... I watched the pre-season friendly last week. I've got to say that at one point I did think, well, Tavernier must be going, because I think it was his worst game I've seen him in a Rangers jersey. I thought he was terrible. But Tavernier for me has been absolutely terrific. But going back to Stuart's point about the amount of players that Rangers have brought in, I think everybody was looking for a good transfer window from Rangers, a bit of freshness. The manager got to the end of the season, decided one or two players, experienced ones, Lundstrom, Jack, Barisic, you know, Golson's now away. He's brought in different ones. Barron from Aberdeen, Kelly as a backup goalkeeper, looks very strong indeed. But the rest of them have got to really hit the ground running. You don't know that, because we've seen Celtic, who won the double last year, you know, their transfers for the summer and in January weren't the greatest as well, but they still managed because they had the experience there with the McGregors, the O'Reillys, Carter Vickers, that knew how to go and win titles. So it'll be interesting to see how Rangers start the season.
Just to pick an argument, since you two are on the same page, of course you're right, because there's facts about the numbers, but what do you do then? Does James Tavernier just stay at Rangers and stay Rangers captain until you get a season where he doesn't score that number of goals? When is the right time? Is it not possible that the right time can still be off the back of a season where he scored lots of goals?
It can be, but at the same time, it's up to the manager. Does James Tavernier want to be at Rangers? Coming out and doing that interview, it looks like he does. But deep down, does the manager really want to keep him? That's the big question, and that's one for me.
See, the thing that goes... If you're looking at Tavernier leaving Rangers, I think it'd be a case of the manager would look at his stats and everything. You're talking there, it's a good point you're saying about, well, do you wait till he has a bad season and then leave? No, of course you don't. But you try and keep your better players. But I think the factor of that, he's probably one of the highest wage earners.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Right. It doesn't...
Could sway a little bit to say, do you know what? Tavernier's been brilliant for us. We've got Sterling in, who's a very good player. I really like him. Can play right back. We can free up that big wage,
which you've already done with Conor Goldson.
And then it gives the manager a little bit of room to go and work with other players.
So whether it's about that interview today or not, Stuart, ultimately, do you think James Tavernier is here for this season?
I think so. Just the way the interview was. I mean, look at they just get rid of Goldson. He was on actually £37,000 a week. 37, if you look it up, it's 37.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit similar to Brian at Partick Thistle.
Butland, he's 40 grand a week.
Why is nobody ever on 30,250 pence a week? It's just rounded up.
And I always, I don't, there can only be so accurate these reports. I don't think anybody knows for sure.
Nobody knows.
But James Tavernier will be on good money by Scottish football standards, the same way Conor Goldson was. I don't think Jack Butland's short a few quid either, for what it's worth. But anyway, thank you to Stuart. He does think that James Tavernier is here for this season. I wonder if you agree with that, Rangers fans, what you make of his interview coming out on Rangers TV and talking about being committed for this season, or committed to the club. Certainly give us all your thoughts. I'm going to bring in Dean in Bishop Briggs, because oh, look, Dean can do a couple of things at once. I'll get to the second part in a minute, but you are a Rangers fan, Dean, so let me throw that one on you. James Tavernier, is he here for the season? What do you make of his situation?
Personally, I think it's time for him to move on.
Why do you say that? Because, you know, the guys are going to come back with it. Everybody does. Look at the goals he scores. How are you going to replace them?
He's been a good servant in that, but as I say, I think it's just time for him to move on, get a replacement in for him.
Do you get that? I'm not going to ask you to pluck examples because that might be hard, but can both things coexist, to Gordon Bryan, where someone is a good player and is an important player, but it's still the right time? Just in theory, can that happen?
It depends if you get any bids, first and foremost. How much can you get for him? And go back to the original point, getting him off the wage bill, because he will be a high earner. I think he's been a fantastic servant to Rangers. Me, if I was that player, James Tavernier, and you were in contract and I was enjoying my football, then I'd want to stay. Why would you want to leave a club like Rangers? Fantastic stadium, great supporters, and you'd want to stay and go and try and win things, go and try and win the league with punters in the grounds. So that's a big one for me. And I know the Rangers fans up and up, they're split in half. Some of them want to stay, some want to go. So it's a tough one.
I think the manager must have a lot to do with this, and the reason I'm going to say that is get a replacement. They've got a replacement in the building, a very good one. Sterling can go and play right back all day long and be absolutely terrific, because I like him. I think he's got everything in his locker to be a very, very good player indeed. So the Rangers manager must be thinking, right, okay, it'd be very easy to bring Tavernier in and say, look, you've been brilliant for us as a skipper and everything you've done, but you're on big money. I need to clear the wages a little bit. I need to clear the debts. He's already come out and said that. Has to sell players. And then if you find that you're not wanted at a club, and the reason is because of the big wages, you've been there a long time, you accept that a little bit and then you try and move on. I don't think the manager's still wants him round about the club.
Overall, Dean, what do you make of the comings and goings? I know it's hard to be too happy as a Rangers fan because of the stadium and all that stuff, but how are you feeling generally with the season just round the corner?
Hard to tell now. Obviously, I think there's a few boys linked to us that hopefully we can get in, so see how the business goes and then see how we start the season.
Quite right. Don't make snap judgments. This is the week that we've asked the pundits to come up with their predictions for the title and the relegation and so on before the window's even closed, before anything's finalised. So that should be good fun to beat them with come the end of the season. But Dean, you're a student of the game, you're a Rangers fan, but you're actually heading to St Mirren tonight, just supporting Scottish clubs in Europe.
I am just on my way through and out of Paisley, so looking forward to the game tonight.
You got pals or St Mirren fans just decide to go and check it out?
Yeah, one of my pals this season took a holder, so just gone jump through with him.
There we go. Fancy their chances?
He thinks he'll do well. I'm not so sure, but hopefully they get the result and progress to the next round.
Dean's no daft. He just wants a night out. Nice night.
Couple of lagers.
Exactly. Just go and enjoy his night. Dean, you're a good man. Enjoy the game. Dean from Bishop Briggs on his way to the St Mirren game, but he's a Rangers fan. It's a good story for me. Anyway, 01419511025. If you give us a call right now, there's a good chance we'll get you on next. And Celtic fans, good time to step up, because we'll hear from Casper Schmeichel after these.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is alongside Partick Thistle's Brian Graham tonight. So any questions for the guys, get them in on 01419511025. Quite a week for your team. I watched your performance at Fir Park at the weekend. Obviously, drew the game, won on penalties. Most people have followed the story, but an administrative error, if we could call it that, overshadowed the game. There were calls maybe for that game to be replayed. That's been knocked back. Rico Diak couldn't come on as a sub when he should have been allowed, an error with the screenshotting of the team lines or something like that. What was that like to be involved in? What's your take on it now, looking back?
Listen, it was strange. I don't think a replay would have ever been fair on Motherwell because they'd never done anything wrong. I think us as a club, as players as well, we've got to look at it. We're out the cup because we lost at home to Clyde. That's the be all and end all. But it's the kid I feel sorry for. He's a young kid. It was a chance to play at Fir Park. The pitch was immaculate. It's a great stadium to play in, and he never got the chance to do it. You never know if that was, he might be his one and only chance, but I don't believe it will be. I think he's going to get better things. But a big thing for me was, he's a young kid. He'll not be on a lot of money. Nobody has a Partick Thistle. So he would do an enduring appearance fee, but now he doesn't get it. So for me, I think the kid should have been compensated. I think that's the big one for me. I think me as a captain, I'd raise that with him, because I believe he should still get his appearance money, because it's not his fault. I know it's a human error they've put it across as, but as much as it disappoints me, because he could have come on and scored, because he's a big powerhouse. He's, when he gets going, he can finish, and I think he could have made a difference, but we weren't allowed to use him.
It's interesting, because Brian should have his own biases and I've got mine, and yet he's saying, oh, maybe not a replay because it would have been unfair on Motherwell, but it's unfair on Partick Thistle, and he could have come on and scored, and it's the fact that he could have is the point, Gordon. But it does look like this has reached its conclusion. We move on and hope that we don't see it again. That won't satisfy Partick Thistle fans,
no,
I'm sure.
No, it certainly won't. You never know what could have happened with the young kid, but I think Brian makes great points there, that as a kid, you're waiting for to make your debut, and you know, against a Premier League team away from home, and you quite rightly say the pitch is absolutely brilliant. You're buzzing. You're thinking, I could go in there and make myself a real hero in my first appearance. And you're right, and I don't care who it is and how much it is. As a young boy, your wages are made up with appearance money and bonus money and everything that goes with that. So I'm sure that everyone for Partick Thistle listen here in the dressing room will have a whip round and look after the lad.
Great place to play, brilliant pitch, sun shining, yet some people live 100 yards from Fir Park and didn't bother going to the game. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, traffic, the roadworks.
The roadworks are bad, but I mean, you're a walking distance, so I don't know how that counts. 01419511025. We're going to hear from Casper Schmeichel very soon. What about Ross? What's the Celtic fan view on things tonight, Ross?
Hi, Gordon, Brian, and Gordon. Hope you guys are doing well.
Good, thank you. Good.
Just a quick point also what Brian said there, but also the comments. It's not really my main point, but it was just a quick one. See if the roles were reversed, though, and Thistle had put a player on that shouldn't have played, Thistle would have got hammered for that. So the fact that Thistle haven't been given the opportunity to replay that match, I find astounding.
No, I'll come in here, Gordon. Listen, we understand as a club that if it was one of our mistakes, it would go down as a 3-0 loss. We totally get that. And as a club, we are raging that we didn't get to put the kid on. Still very angry over it. But they've come out and said it's human error. It's not really anything to do with the app. So we need to take it on the chin and move on. 2 days before the league opener, we don't want it to drag on. We just want to focus on the Championship. And we've got a big year ahead of us, because really in the change room, we want to go and win the league. Simple as that.
Nice. He's just a nice, understanding guy. That's all it is, Ross. What was your main point tonight?
My main point is, obviously, we're, what, 4 days before Celtic kick off the new campaign, and yet here we are, still dragging on without another striker. And it just seems to be every single transfer window that Celtic participate in, we always seem to drag deals out. We never, ever seem to be on the front foot. And the only time we've ever done that is when Ange Postecoglou was in charge. And for me, again, I'm not putting the blame on Brendan Rodgers, but it seems to be every single transfer window, we never seem to get a deal over the line quick and easy. It's always dragged out. And Celtic really wanted to get Adam Eder. Why have we not pushed the boat out and just said, look, there's our offer, that's what we're offering for him, and we'll take him? But for me, it's another transfer saga that Celtic have been caught up in, and really it should have been avoided.
We throw that word around willy-nilly, but I'm happy with saga when you've got Adam Eder late for his flight out with Norwich and the manager talking about it and all that sort of stuff. It's developing into one.
I've heard both sides of the argument. That I listened to a bit of programme last night, and Hugh was, as usual, being a bonnet about 10 weeks. And I've got to say, I totally agree with him. You know, he's not just saying that to have a go at Celtic. I'm sure Ross is the same. I was expecting Celtic to have, you know, one or two more players in rather than two goalkeepers. I'm sure Brendan Rodgers would be in the same boat, because as much as you say, right, we're waiting for equality because we've got the money, we can spend a little bit more, we're in the Champions League, we need a bit more quality rather than just rushing out and getting the signings. I think that Celtic have been caught a little bit.
But what happens if you get the money for O'Reilly and they accept it, and then a big bid comes in for Atati and they lose those two as well, and they've not brought bodies in?
It's a great point. Now, Adam Eder one,
I'd like to see these phone lines if both O'Reilly and Hatate are allowed to leave, I have to say.
The Eder one, I sympathise with Celtic a little bit, right? You don't want to just get in and say, because we've got money, we've got to spend over the odds for him. Norrie's got a new manager. And when a new manager comes in, they want to assess every single player on their staff. Now, he's done that, and obviously the way things have happened, developed over the last couple of days, you would imagine that Adam Eder is going to be a Celtic player very, very shortly. But I'm sure that Celtic will add to their squad. They will bring in that quality with Brendan Rodgers. But I think everybody's a little bit disappointed that you like to see it early. You like to see them going away pre-season. You like to see them blending into the squad and working with the manager and getting the feel of playing with Celtic and just everything about it.
Well, you look at Kuhn. He's seen this pre-season where he looks as if he's played at Celtic first time, but it took him nearly a year to get up to speed. So you obviously want your business done nice and early to get the bodies in. Mm-hmm. Get to run about the squad, get to know the boys and see how they play, and Celtic again, they're leaving it late. And Brendan Rodgers will not be happy with that, I don't believe.
It's interesting, Ross, isn't it? Because, like, you know, the defence is obvious. You know, the window's not closed yet. Celtic are in a relatively strong position. You know, no need to panic. Is it just the fact that it's zero outfield signings at the moment that's making you sit up and take notice? Like, if it was going to take a while for Adam Eder in isolation, fine. Maybe you've got your other left back in to compete with Greg Taylor, or maybe there are other pieces in. Is it just the fact that it's none so far? Did you expect at least something?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Gordon, here. I think if there was other aspects of the park that we needed to improve on, why even all went ahead and cracked on with them for the time being and went, right, let's get a left back, let's get another midfielder just in case O'Reilly does go. But the fact that there's been zero outfield players brought in is just... I'm actually baffled, because at the end of the season, we kind of knew the situation we did was going to go back to Norwich, and then we knew for a fact there was going to be an asking fee. But why Celtic haven't they just went ahead and said, right, there's 3 or 4 million up front, are you accepting it, yes or no? And then the fact that we've dragged deals out. Now, the O'Reilly one, I still think O'Reilly will leave. I think a big fee will come in for him, and I think if we do lose him, there's another part of the jigsaw that we're going to have to replace. So, for me, we're leaving our business really, really late. And I agree with what you said the other night. This Celtic squad is a lot weaker than what it was when it ended the season in May.
I suppose the other outfield player might well be Paolo Bernardo, although, again, I understand why people would ask, why is that taking this time? It seems like it's meant to have been imminent for quite a while, so we'll see what tomorrow brings. Let's thank Ross for his time and hear from one of Celtic's new signings, Kasper Schmeichel. Denmark international says he's always been keen on playing for Brendan Rodgers' side and couldn't miss the chance to reunite with his former Leicester City boss.
There's always something with Celtic for some reason. That, I mean, obviously the size of the club, massive club, worldwide recognition, being part of a winning culture was a big thing for me, coming to a place where you're expected to win every single game. The times where I was probably at my best and my happiest as a footballer was under Brendan at Leicester. So I always had a lot of positive memories. So the chance to work with him again is obviously a big thing.
Yeah, a wee cup draw. Try and stick a couple past Kasper Schmeichel, add it to the CV. Oh. But he's such a high profile signing, isn't it, that one?
I think it's a fantastic signing. I think Joe Hart over the free season was brilliant for Celtic, but I think he's an upgrade. And what I've seen in a short period of time in a Celtic jersey, he looks really, really good. He's passing it out for the back. I think he's quicker with the ball at his feet than Joe Hart was. And that's no disrespect to Joe Hart, because I thought he was brilliant for Celtic over those number of years. But Celtic have strengthened in that, and they're obviously getting into the Champions League, and I think it's a big asset to have.
Let's bring in Dean, who's also a Celtic fan. How are you, Dean? Dean, can you hear us?
Yeah.
What's going on tonight? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was wondering if we could talk about how I think Celtic could make it through to the round of 16 in the Champions League.
Go for it, aim high. Why not? What gives you your confidence?
My confidence is the fact is that we've got. Trust me, this Kasper Schmeichel, man, I think he's a well upgrade over Joe Hart. No disrespect him, he's one of the best goalkeepers Celtic's had in a while, Joe Hart. But this Kasper Schmeichel, you see the saves he was making against Manchester City, Erling Haaland, 2-1-1. And then he made 9 saves, I think, against Chelsea. It's an actual nut.
Listen, I agree that he did have some very good saves. And I suppose that's the thing. It's always interesting at this time of season, Gordon, because some people say, look, pre-season doesn't matter, or you know, or the results don't matter. But still, if you're an individual player producing good moments, that must stand you in good stead going into the season.
Yeah, Brian will tell you, as a striker, you want to get into new season probably with a few goals in the pre-season games under your belt. It gives you that confidence, getting used to hitting the back of net. Same with goalkeepers. They want to be, especially when you come to a club and it's your first sort of a pre-season, you go away with, the games are on TV, Celtic fans are sitting there waiting to see what he's got to produce, and he makes save after save and looks really good. Celtic fans have bought into him already. You know, he's not even played a league game and they've already bought in and said, this is a terrific signing. He brings great experience. He's got a great pedigree. He said it there in his interview. He knows the manager inside out. They've worked together. He knows the standards that's required. He's a very good signing. But I think for Celtic, we don't know about the draw, but I think for Celtic to make the last 16, I don't just buy it in the evidence of Schmeichel being a terrific goalkeeper. I think they'll need to add a bit of quality to going along the way as well.
Listen, you've got to talk up the current manager. That's important. But he was at his happiest under Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
He's just sacking off the Leicester team that won the league.
Yeah.
Rather than.
I've always wanted to play with
Celtic. Yeah,
I've heard it all before.
But he was at Leicester for a long time, wasn't he? Over 11 years, I think. Dean, you know, that's the. It's seen as like the next step. I feel like, well, I've been in this seat for a number of summers and we always have the discussion about can this be the year Celtic do something in Europe, and you seem to think it is. Still there, Dean? I don't know. We'll cut our losses. Dean's off. He's having a good night. We'll thank Dean for his time at 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. And it's, I always give Hugh Keevans a hard time for speaking on behalf of fans, because everybody's so different and you can't speak on behalf of people. If you were being very general about it, there does seem to be a sort of split in the Celtic fans where you get Ross, who was on previously, not panicking, but why are more signings not made already? I can't believe we've got to, you know, 2 days before the Premiership, no outfield. Then the others who would just much rather focus on the fact that this is a successful team, given last season, and are fairly relaxed about it.
Yeah, I totally take that on board. I wouldn't be panicking if I was a Celtic supporter. Could you look at the nucleus, and especially with O'Reilly still there, Hatate, you'll get the McGregors, Carter Vickers. So that team that won the double last year, for me, will only get better under Brendan Rodgers this year. But I think that every manager, especially when you're getting into a competition that you've not really done too well in, the Champions League, the big one where you really want to make your name, you want to add to your squad, you want to bring in, you know, real better players, more ability and competition and everything that goes with it. They've got rid of one or two players, so there's a big squad at Celtic as Rangers, and sometimes it's harder to get players out the door because of the financial situation. But you're not telling me a coach that prepares the way Brendan Rodgers does wouldn't have liked a few outfield players.
He would have had his targets. He's got to have put his targets to the people upstairs, and if they want to go and progress, as the last call I was saying, to get to the last 60, they need another centre half. They need more bodies at different positions, and to compete in Europe. You see Parkhead on a European night, the place is jumping. They do well to a certain point and then they lose the game. Obviously, years ago, it was a fortress, and they weren't losing at Parkhead because they had really top players all over the pitch. And to be successful in Europe, that's what you're going to need. So Brendan Rodgers will be wanting better quality in the door, and he's been saying it himself. He wants quality. So Brendan Rodgers, I don't think, is happy at this current time with his transfer business.
Dean is confident, though. Why not give us a call? And very soon, we're going to go to Paisley, because what a huge night of European football we've got in store. It'd be lovely to hear from you, St Mirren fans. How are you feeling? Any pre-match nerves? or is it just excitement at European football being back in Paisley? Speaking of excitement, how does this sound for you? Tomorrow's the day. We could change your life with over £250,000 on the cash register. That's how much you can win. It is an incredible, life-changing amount, but only if you enter first. If you get in the draw right now, in under 24 hours' time, you could be £260,000 richer. Text yes to 61025. Text of £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523. All calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and if you've entered since the lines opened last Monday the 22nd, do not worry, you are still in the draw and you don't need to re-enter. You can get all the rules anyway, if you can't remember it, on Clyde1.com. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are there. Entry lines shut at 5pm tomorrow, the 2nd of August. If you get the call, answer within five rings, tell us this week's cash register amount, £260,000, and the money would be paid into your bank within the hour. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or tweet us your kind regards at Clyde SSB. We are looking forward to a big night of European action. Kilmarnock will kick off first at 7 o'clock over there in Bruges. 1-1 from the first leg, hoping they can get that famous away win and progress. It looks like we have Robbie McCrory in goal, Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Stuart Finlay, Robbie Dees at the back. Mind we met Robbie Dees in Munich.
Yeah, nice lad.
He had one or two pints that night, hadn't he?
I think he more than
one or two. We met this guy in Germany as well, Brian.
Met everybody in Germany.
Anyway, midfield, Brad Lyons, Liam Donnelly, Rory McKenzie, and as always, the likes of Danny Armstrong and Marley Watkins providing the support for Kyle Vassell on the bench. O'Hara, Kennedy, Watson, Mackay, Stephen, Murray, Cameron, Anderson, Wales, Brown, Brannan, Leslie and Polworth. Can Kelly do it? Always harder away, of course.
Yeah, I think they can. Yeah, I think they can set themselves up. Derek's a very experienced manager. They've got good players. They've got match winners. That's the one thing I like about Kilmarnock. I'm expecting another big season from Kilmarnock. I really do.
I really like Watkins playing off of Selwyn. Obviously, you get Danny Armstrong's left foot, so they've got goals in their team. But I think out of the two Scottish teams tonight, I think Kilmarnock's probably got the harder tie. I think St Mirren will go through comfortably. I think Kilmarnock just might struggle. I hope I'm wrong, but that's just how I see it.
Marley Watkins just gave me an insight, just a quick story of the unforgiving nature of dressing room banter, as you guys would refer to it. I'm sure I was down interviewing him last week and speaking about the opening game against Celtic and a big challenge, and he said, you know, at the end of the day, it's just 11 human beings against 11 human beings. I didn't think there was, I've heard worse, put it that way. I didn't even notice, but there were some players within earshot who heard it and they were slaughtering for it.
You don't get away with entering a change room. Pick up on everything.
Would not let it go. So
just
hopefully
the same size of pitch for every player.
Hopefully the 11 human beings in blue and white can get the can get the victory tonight. And get a bit of celebration going down Ayrshire Way. Much closer to home than Bruges though. Paisley, Andrew McLean is the man for that big occasion. Andrew, you must be really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, really, really looking forward to this. What a night we could be in for in Paisley. One that some St Mirren fans have waited their whole lives for. The older ones have waited exactly 37 years for a home European match. A sellout crowd it's going to be tonight. There are quite a few that have already made their way into the stadium. There's going to be displays in all of the stands as well. And, you know, you could just feel the buzz from the supporters when you were driving into the town earlier on today. The sun is shining as well, so it should be a fantastic night. Not only a massive occasion, but also one they'll feel that they can win and progress and get another European tie as well, because you saw it last week. It was a game St Mirren felt they should have won. They had loads of chances. They'll expect to have the same again tonight against a Valour side that actually should be weaker on paper than they were last week. Aaron Johansson is one of their key players. He was sent off last week, so he can't play in this game. Gylfi Sigurdsson hasn't travelled either. Two of their more experienced players with a bit of quality. So St Mirren will really fancy their chances. Stephen Robinson will really fancy his team's chances tonight. And this game is just part of that upwards trajectory that Stephen Robinson has got this St Mirren team in at the moment. Back-to-back top six finishes. They've got European football now, and they'll be desperate to build on that this campaign. What a way to start it as well, if they were able to get through this tie tonight. I'll just read you the starting 11 for St Mirren tonight. Ellery Balcombe in goal, the back three, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor. Sean Rooney will be the right wing back, Jaden Brown the left wing back, Mark O'Hara, Roland O'Hara, Edolu and Dennis Adeniran are in the middle of the park. Toyosi Olasanya supporting Jonah Ayunga up top. The substitutes are Minsky, Kelly, Buomono, Kenny, Yakaviti, Tanzer, Sutherland, Smith, Taylor, Mooney, Jameson and Scott. And over the next half an hour or so, this place will be absolutely rocking. I cannot wait to see what the atmosphere is going to like. It'll be an expectant crowd as well, because it is an absolutely huge game and the anticipation is just going to build and build and build.
Yeah, I wonder, Brian and Gordon, what that does to the football match. You've got that expectant crowd. It's a big night, big sense of occasion. And like we said earlier, it's not about being disrespectful. Although it's Europe and the usual there are no easy games caveat, it's still a level of opposition that St Mirren should hope to beat, expect to beat, whatever the right word is. So might it still require patience? Is that going to be a difficult balance?
It could be. You never know the game plan from Valour. They could come and they could sit in and try and counter-attack. But I think St Mirren have got to play in the front foot, get after them, use the crowd to their advantage, get them up on their feet, edge of their seats, and go and really enjoy the game. Try and score as early as possible, but sometimes that's always the game plan, but sometimes it doesn't always plan out that way. Marcus Fraser, we'll touch on him. He was my ex-teammate at Ross County, captain as well, so I really hope it's a good night for him and his teammates.
I fancy St Mirren big time, and I think he'll be comfortable if they go about it the right way, and I think they should. The manager will make sure they're up for it in the dressing room before they leave. They've got enough quality there. They're against a part-time team. They've got the crowd behind them. Everything's in their favour. I think that if they get an early goal, it'll be a comfortable night for them.
Has it got that big game feel about it, Andrew? And to quote Gordon DL, something you should never do, it's better when the sun's shining. I don't know if that's playing a part tonight as well. Just a real sense of occasion.
Yeah, I think the St Mirren fans that saw the European draw and then went over to Iceland, they'll be quite happy with this, because I think with, you know, a European draw early in the campaign, you'd be hoping to get somewhere sunny. They didn't get that with Iceland, but they're certainly getting it back here in Paisley. It's absolutely roasting, but it just has that big game feel, because even at this point, before kickoff, you know, I've been to many St Mirren games, the fans wouldn't have really turned up to the stadium yet. They'd be waiting about, but a lot of them just want to come in and soak it all in, and, you know, chatting to fellow supporters about how excited they are for this game. When I was driving about Paisley earlier on to get here, you could see just the number of fans walking about in St Mirren tops. Beer gardens were full of supporters that just cannot wait for this game tonight, because the thing is, in football, you never know when it's going to come round again. 37 years it was since St Mirren were last in Europe. They'll be hoping it's not that long wait again, but they need to make sure they make the most of this. First of all, the fans, but also the players on the pitch.
I'm still scarred from Stjarnan, Icelandic opposition, knocking Motherwell out of European qualifiers a couple, 10 years ago, I think, which makes you feel old. But anyway, let's get the thoughts of Stephen Robinson ahead of this one tonight.
Yeah, it is. There's no point downplaying it. It's been nearly 40 years in the making. So we want to go and embrace it. We want to go and enjoy it, not fear it. And as I say, the players have earned the right for this. They've earned the right to be in the tie. That was the important bit from the first leg. And, you know, as I say, we're going to go and play our game. We're going to get the crowd behind us and take the game to Villa. We've been very clear in our intentions. We didn't want it to be one round. As I say, first and foremost, we kept ourselves in the game. Potentially should have been winning. And it's now an opportunity. Both teams know who they get in the next round, so it's certainly a carrot for both teams. And it's important. I think it's important for Scottish football that everybody represents Scotland well and shows what a good standard it is. And we aim to do that tomorrow night.
It's another chance for managers, Gordon, as well, to, you know, make gains in areas that you know, in Scottish football, we know only Celtic and Rangers are really going to win the leagues. They've got the biggest chance of winning the cup. If these teams can start, you know, going on cup runs, making a dent in Europe, it just adds that something extra to everyone's CV, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does, and that's what the manager will be hoping to do, and the players as well, and also for the club. Excuse me, financially, Gordon. You know, the further it can go, you look at that tonight, that's a full house tonight in Paisley. So they're making a lot of money out of it, which helps go towards the manager's budget, which helps him bring in better quality and better wages. So everything sort of works with each other if you're successful and you can keep yourself in this competition as long as you can.
And with that, what a quick first hour that was. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Wow, will we have a debut for Brian Graham on Beat the Pundit? That is a possibility. This evening, Gordon DL played many times, lost many times. It could be him as well. And it could be you, more importantly, if you call us before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025. Your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon DL are here, and it's 0141 951 1025. You might want to join in because we've got breaking news. The beauty of live radio. Just imagine, you've been mourning about the fact, Gordon DL, that we're back to our normal schedule. Imagine you were on a radio show that finished at 7 o'clock. You would miss this. Bang on the dot. 7 o'clock, Celtic and Rangers both announcing new signings. Paulo Bernardo, we spoke about him. He has been signed on a permanent deal by Celtic on a 5-year contract. Obviously a player we know lots about. He was here last season, played in some big moments. So Paulo Bernardo is back on a 5-year deal. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Give us your fresh reaction, please, on 0141 951 1025. And at the exact same time, Rangers announcing the signing of Robin Proper, subject to international clearance, FC20 captain, centre back. You all know the drill, pretty much a Conor Goldson replacement, if you like, along those lines. So Rangers fans, what do you make of that? A busy night for transfers. We didn't even see it coming. We've got European football underway, and we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Just as an aside, you know what's great about this? He's started the new season like, you know, just where he leaves off every other season. Hugh Keevans was texting me at 5 to 7, moaning about the fact that Celtic hadn't signed Paulo Bernardo yet. How does he do it? Like, seriously, it's one thing getting the outcome of games wrong, but he's there in his man cave with his glass of red, moaning about, and 5 minutes later it happens. He's a force of nature.
He's got off to his usual
fire. I've actually not seen him yet because I was off last night. So tomorrow, what a reunion it's going
to
be.
Might even hug him.
Anyway, right, we're going to play Beat the Pundit, but your reaction in. It's not often we get to 7 o'clock in the show and Celtic and Rangers both announce new signings. So give us a call and get us your reaction in. Cody is on to play Beat the Pundit. How are you, Cody?
I'm good, how are you?
You didn't even know you were on for this. Robin Proper, Rangers have made a signing. Happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I felt it was time for Conor Goldson to go, so I'm very happy with it.
It's a kind of obvious one, isn't it? Just he's the Conor Goldson replacement. Is that the way everyone sees it, I take it?
Yeah, he's the captain of his current club, so I think they're swapping leadership qualities of Goldson to his leadership qualities. I think it's an excellent replacement.
Even just age profile, Gordon, it's sort of staring you in the face that Rangers were probably going to look to do that. Experienced one.
I think it's a good bit of business from Rangers. Not in the fact I don't know a lot about the player, but they had to have someone ready to step in and fill Goldson's shoes. He's an experienced player. As the caller said there, that he's got he's a captain of the club as well, so he comes with a good pedigree. And it'll be interesting to see if they pitch him right in at Tynecastle in 2 days' time.
There you are. Robin Proper is a Rangers player and Paulo Bernardo is back at Celtic as well. It's all happening. Give us a call. Cody, however, is really on to play Beat the Pundit. Have you ever played before, Cody?
No, it's my first time.
Good, good. You do alright though when you play at home?
Yeah, I'm always winning, especially against Gordon Gale.
Oh, here's a Cody.
Fighting talk.
We heard a 6 or 7 the other night there, and the lad bottled it.
Who won last night? I was very busy.
Well, it was Hugh and Jim Duffy, so I'd imagine that.
Oh, Hugh won 6-5.
Ah, well done.
Word reaches me.
Was it Hugh that gave you them?
It's still 2-1 to the listeners this week because they got off to a flying start. What do you think about your chances of playing?
He's quite confident.
You all right if the coin went your way?
We'll see what happens with the coin.
He's got that. Do you know something? I quite like that. Very
never,
confident.
Never
yeah.
played before. Okay.
Probably the first thing you win.
Heads it will be Brian Graham and tails it will be Gordon DL. Yes, it's a heads. I love a debutante.
Oh, Brian, he's balling it now.
Up against Cody on the
baby wipes. I'll help you. Don't worry about it.
What we will do is give Brian some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can hear what's going on. Cody, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that's absolutely fine, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. At which Scottish side did Celtic's James McCarthy start his senior career?
Hibernian.
Which current Rangers player played at the Olympics in 2012?
Mohamed Diamandé.
In what year did Hearts last win the Scottish Cup?
2014.
What Scottish Championship side are nicknamed the Harry Rags?
Pass.
Name either side who were relegated from the Scottish Championship last season.
Arbroath.
Okay, let's bring him back. Brian Graham, can you hear us?
Can't.
Do you want to know what the hardest thing about playing Beat the Pundit
no,
is?
Mate.
Forget the questions. It's that big daft face staring at you.
I was trying not to look at him.
How off-putting is he?
You're a certainty.
It's his eyes. The eyes get bigger.
Do you know what? Just think of this in your head. It's like me going round the goalkeeper, passing it to you, and you tap in. That's Cody's done. He's away.
No, that's him. He's away.
30 seconds to Brian Graham, and his time starts now. Which Scottish side James McCarthy start his senior career?
Hamilton.
Which current Rangers player played at the Olympics in 2012?
Pass.
In what year did Hearts last win the Scottish Cup?
2012.
Which Scottish Championship side are nicknamed the Harry Rags?
The Jags, Partick Thistle.
Name either side who were relegated from the Scottish Championship last season.
Arbroath.
How many Scottish teams qualified for European competition this season?
4.
Which English Premier League club does Scotland's Ross Stewart play for?
Southampton.
Okay, what are you thinking, Cody?
Get yourself up the road, Cody.
He'll be lucky to sneak a tiebreaker here, I think.
Well, I'm not buying that. He took too long. I was watching you.
We'll see how. So did you not hear Cody?
No. Well, I could see how long he was taking, but I would imagine Brian's tucked him.
Well, Brian, Cody thinks Brian will be lucky to get a tiebreaker. Let's find out. At which Scottish side did Celtic's James McCarthy start his senior career? It's Hamilton. 1-0
Cody, go to bed, mate.
Not yet.
Give him an early
night.
Could
sneak a tiebreaker. Which current Rangers player played at the Olympics in 2012? Jack Butland. Remember that was the one.
I was going to say Jack Butland.
Remember it was Team GB.
Let's see Cody.
It's the only time recently we've entered a men's Team GB. I actually went to one of the games. One of my mates worked for the Olympics and went to some game.
Are you hearing Trafford?
I think he's devastated. Absolutely devastated.
Cody's up the road.
Who did you go for again?
I went for Diamandé.
Diamandé, see, 12,
oh, lucky, Cody.
12 years ago, he was only 10. That's the problem. Just missed out. In what year did Hearts last win the Cup? It is 2012. 5-1 win against Hibs, obviously. 2-0.
Cody.
The Harry Rags, Cody. The Jags. I can't believe that question was in there,
mate. That's how I knew you won, right? Because he was sitting for about 10 seconds waiting for Cody to even think about that.
3-0 to Brian Graham.
How's your chances now, Cody?
You put the Partick Thistle question. I'm a Partick Thistle player. I don't know about that.
What about the other
fair
two?
Fair point. I'll take that one off and we'll see how you get on. Name either side who were relegated from the Championship last season. This is where Cody sprung into life. Arbroath. You got it as well. Or Inverness.
Yes.
How many Scottish teams qualified for Europe? It was 5. You didn't get it. Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Kelly, St Mirren. And Ross Stewart plays for Southampton. So it was a 5-1 win for Brian.
What a debut. What a dazzler.
You're right, brilliant, mate.
Cody, you're right. That Partick Thistle question's a disgrace.
You can take that point off if
I'll
you want.
Take it off him. Hard lines, Cody.
And we'll double your answer, Cody. So you have a 2, yeah?
Good man, Cody. Take care.
I would have smacked you,
Cody. Cody, honestly, I'd have put you away 10 seconds, no 30 on the clock, mate.
Limit, don't back down.
By the way, how bad are these people, right? They come on. What do you usually do? I usually do very well, 6 or 7.
It's harder when the pressure's
on. He only answers 5 questions, right?
It's harder when the pressure's on.
Bottled it. Cody, pick it up, son, and get yourself up the road.
Do it again sometime, Cody.
I will.
Tighten your belt.
Cody from Bonnie Bridge. 5-1 win for Brian Graham. I just love the sincerity of like.
You were lucky to get a tie break.
Because obviously, like, spoiler, like, me and everyone else has heard those, and I know how many he's got, and I just I love the confidence.
I knew right away because I was watching, and he didn't ask him a question for about 10 seconds, and it was a Harry Ragged one.
Harry Rags. I have to admit, with every day being a school day, it says on my sheet, brackets, British jockey, 1902 to 1985. Harry Rag? Yeah? That's where that comes from?
Yeah, that's true.
News to me.
Yeah,
he was a jockey.
Do you know how I know that?
All you've done is repeated back what I just said, though.
No, and the reason, but I can back my reason up.
Go for it.
Because when you used to go to the fair, you know the fair that you used to go and you used to put the pennies in and the horses...
Where's he gone with us?
Hold on. Hugh'll verify this because he'll be listening. And the horses used to run round and you could bet Harry Rag used to ride one of the horses. And that's true.
It's not that I don't believe you, just...
I couldn't make that up. No, I'm good at making things up and lying. But I couldn't make that up. Hugh'll back
me
100%.
Hold on, let me finish. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just that surely the go-to there is, yeah, I remember because Harry Rag is a jockey. Like I saw, rather than some mad story about the fair, he would need to be a real jockey first before the fair.
Yeah, but that's how I recognised his name.
Right, okay.
Right, and that's why I know 100% Harry Rag was a jockey.
I like the one where you roll the balls and then the faster you roll them into the hole, then the jockey goes faster.
Harry Rag never...
That's good.
He wasn't riding those days. He was more...
Retired by then?
Yeah, he was retired.
No, I like that. You still on the Olympics? You were soul searching the other night about what event you would take part in.
Yeah, I was watching a wee bit today and the girl, 3 tens with the bow and arrow. Boom, boom, boom. 3 tens.
Do you know what I'd like to see you at?
He told me he's a good golfer. The golf's just started.
That's too obvious. I want to see him do something like left field.
But there's not a lot I could do now.
The shooting. You seen the boy, he's like gone wildly viral famous. Is it Turkey's representing? So most of them have got like the protective mask, eyewear on. The kind of fancy outfits, accessories, and they look the part. And he's standing, he's just got a t-shirt, he's got his hand in his pocket, and he's like in his 50s.
I watched him the other day.
And everyone's saying he just looks like some retired assassin that they've phoned up and said, listen, go and do us a turn.
But I'll tell you what,
that would be you.
What about the size of the guns?
What about them?
The size of them nowadays?
I don't know.
They're massive. How they can hold them up to it's not a James Bond one. You know what I mean? It's one of those...
No 007?
The thing's nearly at the target, but I've seen the guy...
You see that guy? He was casual.
And he doesn't... I think he only wears glasses, does he? Just his normal focus.
Just like reading glasses.
Two and a half that you would read with. Boom, boom, boom. See you later next round.
Brilliant. That's...
Are you watching it?
I've watched some of it.
What's your favourite?
I like swimming.
Swimming is good. That's exciting.
Boring, mate.
I like it as well.
How's that exciting?
Because it is. I like swimming, so it's one of the ones I like.
That is honestly your Olympic analysis there. I don't think Hazel Irvine has to worry about her job. I think anybody
that does a butterfly, I would disqualify. Growing up, you can never want to say, I want to be a gold medal at a butterfly.
Why?
Because it's the worst stroke I've ever seen in my life.
I'd like to see you try it.
I can't do it, but I'm not good swimming, mate. I can do one breath and then I have to kid on. I'm taking a rest.
Cramp.
I'm terrible. I can't breathe right under the water.
So that coffee you're
drinking. Nobody can breathe under the water.
No, but how you come up.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I can't do that. I just hold my breath the whole time.
More of a breaststroke, man. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And it's rare we get to this stage of the show and get whacked with two big pieces of transfer news confirmed as well. Paulo Bernardo is a Celtic player. So that's changed the conversation tonight. What do you make of that signing? Celtic fans and Rangers fans. Proper is in the building. He has signed as well. 30-year-old centre-back, going to try and fill that Conor Goldson position. And it's all happening at Glasgow's Big Two tonight. So 01419511025. The beauty of live radio, Scott, who joins us when you called to make your original point. Rangers hadn't made this signing, so let me throw that on you. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I've just seen it there on Twitter. I'm quite looking forward to it, but I'm a bit sceptical at the same time, to be honest.
Well, this is the thing, right? Because your initial call was a sort of negative one, if you like, or a bit worried. Does the signing of Robin Proper tonight cheer you up a bit? How much of a difference does it make to your hopes?
Well, I'd be happy with another one or two getting through the door, to be honest.
I think we need another striker still as well.
Yeah, I suppose where this one, the bracket this one falls into, is this really had to happen, because it's, you know, forget last season, Conor Goldson's gone out the building and he had to be replaced. So in terms of our numbers, it's a balancing up one, this one. But still, I'm sure it's the main part of the team.
As Adazza said, they've brought in a leader. Obviously, yeah. Conor Goldson's left, and he could be a big player for Rangers. We don't really know a lot about him, but we'll still see him in the flesh. Will he be in the squad for Saturday's game? Will it be too early, maybe the following week? So with the European game in mind, obviously they had to fill that gap. So we'll see how he comes along, but it's a big signing for Rangers.
It's a bit of experience, isn't it? A bit of experience. They've obviously had this deal lined up, knowing that Golson was going to go, and they moved very quickly. I did mention it earlier when I heard that he'd signed. Would they pitch him right in on Saturday?
Well, it's still subject to international clearance on, 20 past seven. That's not to say I'm not an expert. You know, maybe tomorrow's a possibility, but I think as it stands, it would look unlikely, but you never know.
Yeah, even if he does get the clearance, I think that he may just wait. Let the lad settle into the sort of a routine of the club and meet the players and be involved on Saturday in the dressing room, see what happens. But because Rangers have got a big squad and they've got enough to cover themselves. Okay, in pre-season, they've been chipping goals left, right and centre. But they'll be looking for a big, better performance, on Saturday at Tynecastle, especially with the back four. But I think it's a sensible move from Rangers. I really do, to get someone in to give them that bit of cover as well, bit of experience, and we'll just wait and see what the lad has to offer.
But it's still going to take a bit more than that for you then. You still think there's a good bit of work that needs done, Scott? You're not buzzing about the new season quite yet?
Watching the new lads' highlights on YouTube, I'm quite excited now, to be honest with you, to see how things go.
What's the mood like overall then? Because there's a few things obviously contributing right now.
I'm going to go down to Ibrox tonight, see if he's going to be there or whatever. I've been told he's getting unveiled tonight.
I don't take advice from me, but I don't think that doesn't sound likely to me. But
you're not doing that for 30-year-old, come on.
I don't know. Listen, Scott, it's a nice night. Get yourself down there. But the overall, Scott, it's not just signings, it's pre-season performances, the stadium. But how are you feeling about the new season?
It's just seeing Celtic obviously beating Chelsea there, Man City. I'm sort of worried of the results.
Just depends whether you buy into. Go on then, you're currently playing and coaching. Do pre-season results and performances matter?
No, they don't.
Nah, well, we need to see then, obviously. We get kicked off on Saturday, so looking forward to it.
What's your, Brian, I don't know if any stand out times where you've had like a terrible pre-season result or a couple of results and gone on to have a good campaign or vice versa? Can that happen?
See, as players, honestly, you're just happy when pre-season's done. You actually forget what's happened in the pre-season. You're just always focused on the first league game or the first competitive game, and that comes for Rangers on Saturday at a tough venue, away to Hearts. So does the new centre-half come straight in? Does he play against Lauren Shanklin? We all the speculation about Lauren Shanklin all summer. The Shanklin doing one and go and stick a couple past them, you just never know. But I wouldn't read too much into pre-season.
Well, there you are. Thanks to Scott and Wisher, who might well be going out to Ibrox tonight. You can give us a call back tomorrow, Scott. Let us know how it goes. An even start in Bruges, it's still goalless, 20 minutes gone. Circle Bruges 0, Kilmarnock 0, 25 minutes away from kickoff in Paisley. The atmosphere there is really, really building. So Robin Proper is a Rangers player. What's your thoughts on that, Rangers fans? And Paolo Bernardo is back on a 5-year deal. Celtic fans, take it away and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Brian Graham are here. 0141 951 1025. I do have bad news for you. I think Cercle Bruges have scored. Which means they lead. Yes, Somers has opened the scoring 21 minutes. It was just after I gave you the update that it was goalless in a Hugh Keevans fashion. And that means it's 1-0 to the hosts. Doesn't change a great deal. I mean, come on, look, still
have to score.
Just going to try and win the game. But I think, you know, a bit of a gift by Kilmarnock, by all accounts, as well. Nothing in the game up to that point. How frustrating is that as a player or a manager?
That'll be Derek McInnes' most frustrating part. If obviously we've not seen the goal, and if it's a mistake that leads to it, then obviously he'll be kicking his tail on the touchline. But they've still got a lot of time to try and get themselves back into the game. They went 1-0 down at home as well, don't forget. Mm-hmm. And they come back into that game and finish strongly, so there's still a chance for them yet.
Yeah, that's a good thing about it. They've got players all over the pitch, even for set plays. The guys at the back, you know, they're a threat. So you're right, they always knew that they had to go over there and score at some point, so we're still in a good position.
You're having voice issues tonight.
I don't know what's happened in the last 10 minutes. I've just caught something.
Because it's like, remember you went proper Kermit the Frog last season?
Terrible.
But I feel like that's threatening to happen quite a lot tonight. I'm worried about you.
In the last 10 minutes, I don't know, it was excitement after Beat the Pundit. My throat.
He wasn't very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all, so.
Someone's just stitched you up. I didn't even mean that. Someone in the background just played the clip of you going Kermit the Frog last season.
Yeah.
We hear it one more time.
Wasn't he very mobile, was he, when he came back?
No, he didn't look fit at all, so.
That's what's about to happen to you tonight. But anyway.
I don't know what it is. I've no idea. Just in the last 10 minutes. So I apologise for anyone listening.
Could it be the fact that you drink 16, 17 coffees a day?
I think it's the fact that I usually get one at 7 o'clock.
You didn't get one.
I didn't get one. Yeah. Yeah, I think
he's only had 16 today. It's an absolute tragedy. Let's go to the phones, because I said earlier on, breaking news tonight, that Paulo Bernardo has come back to Celtic on a permanent deal, a 5-year contract no less. And Sarah is a Celtic fan. Sarah, does that make you feel any better about Celtic's business, or still a lot of work to do?
No, a lot of work to do. I mean, it's one player short for being at the strength we were last season. So as far as I'm concerned, the board are on shaky ground.
Yeah, if you're talking pure numbers, Sarah's right. I'm always, I think you have to be careful with the, you know, when you re-sign players, like he might be much better than last season. So it's not like you're necessarily standing still, because you might get a new and improved version, you know, better for the experience of having been there.
Plus he's still young. He's
remember with Carter Vickers and Jota. And some people said, well, they were there last season anyway. Yeah, but they then kicked on. However, Sarah's right. If you're just talking pure numbers, he was there last season. So, but still, we can get to that. What do you make of the fact
I think it's a very good signing, right? Because I think the lads get ability. He had a sort of a up and down season at Celtic. Sometimes you've seen him, he's very good. He was, you know, he was looking to kick on from that, and then he would take a little dip. And at that age, sometimes it happens.
What impressed me about him was how, for a young lad, at big games, key moments, yeah, he stepped up and scored against Rangers. He was involved in the Scottish Cup final with the winner for it, Adam Eder, to go and score.
See, the fact that they've given him a 5-year contract, they realise that, you know, he's got
potential to sell him as well. That's why they're doing it.
Have a look at how Matt O'Riley improved under Brendan Rodgers, a seasoned Brendan Rodgers. Matt O'Riley became a different player for me. So I think that Celtic have looked at a situation. The boy's got all the ability that we talk about. He's at the right age. He can develop him into a better player. He's now got time with the 5 years. He knows the club. He's been at the club. He knows the country. Knows Scottish football. I think that's a good bit of business.
Yeah, 5-year deal, 22 years of age, 33 appearances and 4 goals last season. You're right, Sarah. It's, you can't argue the fact about the numbers. What about just Bernardo himself, though? Did you like him? Do you think that's a good signing to have him back?
Yeah, I wanted him back. I think it's a good piece of business. There is potential there to be, you know, improve under Rodgers, and you know Rodgers is a good manager for improving, you know, young talent. So yeah, I'm glad to have him back. I think, but that wasn't like the breaking news came. You know,
yeah, after you called.
Yeah, but my point still stands as well, because I think it was not the last caller, but a few callers back that talked about the lack of outfield players. So what my concern is Kyogo is the only first team striker. If we don't have another striker and something happens to him, we have been playing with fire with this. Not a good place to be in, and it's on the board's head. And the fact that, see the, you know, this window, we knew where we needed to strengthen last summer, you know. So they haven't just had this window. They've had plenty of time to find proper replacements. So, yeah, I'm not happy with the board. Brendan Rodgers and the team won that double last year because of them, in spite of the board.
If you flip this in the centre forward situation, if Ida comes in, for instance, there's no problem.
Get this knows, guy a glass of water. Yeah, honestly, no. He is struggling.
He knows the club.
Yeah.
He's been there. He knows everything about it. He's fit. He's done his pre-season. He's played pre-season games with Norwich. So that wouldn't be a concern. And I think that's what will happen. I think you'll see Ida coming into the building. I think then you'll see other players arriving at Celtic. But the fact that Bernardo and Ida has already been there and know the club inside out, know what's required, I think that's that would be two, for me, good pieces of business.
I think the big one for
not,
me...
It's not on, though, is he? He's not. That's not a guarantee, because he's not been signed. And I, for one, and I know many other Celtic fans, are not confident that he will sign before Sunday.
But it took Bernardo a bit of time to get that deal over the line as well, didn't it? I just think...
That's what you'd do. See, if you were in Bernardo's shoes, you would just sit back, miss pre-season, go on an extra long holiday, then sign at the end, wouldn't you? That's right up your street.
Yeah, that's the way it works for me. Always has been. But I honestly do think that Celtic will bring more players in. I think it is disappointing. I said that at the top of the show tonight. I totally agree with you. I think 10 weeks is a long time. I think you can get your business done before then. But I do think that Ida will probably just listen to what's happening, probably come into Shelton.
And again, Sarah, if that one happens, is that still going to be short for you? Because again, numbers wise, you kind of need him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we get him in and we have the same squad, you know, the one that won the double. So, you know, I would feel a lot better. But as I say, I'm just not confident that Ida's going to be in the door for the start of the competitive season. And see if that happens. There are going to be a lot of people going, what happens if Kyogo ends up, you know, getting hurt? See the guy that's from Partick Thistle? He plays in a team. See if he was at a team where there was one position, an important position, there was only one player. Would that not play in your mind? Because I know it's playing mine.
Honestly, I thought she was going to suggest Celtic sign you there for a minute. Boy, I see his eyes light up.
No, I'm too old for that.
But yeah, I get where Sarah's coming from. We'll never know the background. There can be a million innocent reasons, understandable reasons, why some transfers take longer than others. But from the outside, being a layman, if you like, who doesn't see the detail, it is understandable to think, why couldn't Bernardo be done earlier? Because, you know, it's not like the same situation as Ida. And even then, always let go. Mm-hmm. Did it look like it? Celtic must have known that something... I know that probably wasn't part of the plans anyway. Well, definitely wasn't part of the plans. But you assume at that point that a replacement, even just from a numbers perspective, is at least close?
I think the fans, not for just from Celtic, they want bodies in. They want everything to happen quite quickly. We know the season kicks off this weekend. I don't believe Adam Ida will be in the door for Sunday. No chance. Too quick a turnaround for me. So I get the caller's point. But at the same time, who else have they got? If Kyogo does get injured,
I mean, it would simply have to be a Maeda reshuffle or something, wouldn't it?
Well, he got injured the Chelsea game. How bad is that injury? Yeah. We've not really heard that, and he went off in that game, so you don't know how fit he is either. So obviously Celtic do need bodies. As I said earlier in the show, Brendan Rodgers won't be happy with the hierarchy at Celtic, because he keeps mentioning it, I want quality in the door, and it's not happened yet. The league starts on Sunday for Celtic. And I don't believe Brendan Rodgers sitting here right now is happy manager at Celtic right now.
Well, I'm sure he'll speak tomorrow and see what he has to say about that. Paolo Bernardo, though, back in the building. So we'll see what he can offer Celtic this season. Let me just check in on events elsewhere. I don't think we've had any more goals yet, unfortunately, for Kilmarnock. They do find themselves a goal behind. Yeah, still no change there. 21 on the clock when Cercle Bruges opened the scoring. I guess Gordon just hanging in it. Not time to panic yet.
No, not at all. It would be a case of panicking if they lost another one, especially away from home. But Derek's an experienced manager. He knows that he's got players capable of getting them back into this game. It's going to be difficult. We said that at the top of the show. It was going to be a difficult game for him, especially away from home. But they've still got players there that can turn it round, but they've got to make sure defensively from now they've got to be solid. If they lost another one, I don't think MD giving them any hope.
Thank you to Sarah. Some good points, well made. I'm sure some will agree, some will disagree. That's the beauty of it, but well made for sure. Thanks again on 01419511025. We are 10 minutes away from kickoff in Paisley. We'll try and go back there and speak to Andrew McLean. What about Colin first, though, who's a Rangers fan from Bigger? How's it going, Colin?
Hi, Gordon. Good to have you back, buddy.
Great to be back, Colin. No place I'd rather be.
Dazzler as well, and welcome along to Brian for his debut on the Madhouse.
He's doing all right, isn't he, Colin? We'll have him back, I think. Good stuff.
Knows what the net is.
What are you thinking tonight?
As I was speaking to Chris, go with me on this theory. 5 o'clock tomorrow, Rangers make a phone call to Tynecastle with a £1.5 million offer for Lorne Shankland. Now, at this stage, whether Rangers will want him or not, he's still to be developed, but the ball's moving. So now you're on the eve of start this season. Shankland obviously knows the ball's rolling, potentially unsettled. I don't think so, because he is a very good professional, but suddenly it's a live situation. Now, I think everything going against Rangers, you need to use what's potentially to your advantage, and I think this move would be to their advantage come Saturday.
The mind games from Colin. Get the fax machine fired up at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
That's a Jose Mourinho move, that one, by the way.
Listen, you're cutting your teeth in management. Are you going for that?
Are you thinking about that?
I think it's not a bad shout, to be honest with you. I'm going to agree with the call.
You cynic.
I'm going to agree with the call up. It's the seed of doubt in there. Hopefully he doesn't turn up and score against Rangers Saturday. But listen, I know Lawrence Shankland, he's too professional for that. He's got a job to do on Saturday for Hearts. He's a Hearts captain. There's been no bids, so his mind will fully be on the game against Rangers as a Hearts player, and it's as simple as that. I don't see him going to Rangers in this window, and that's just my opinion.
I'm not buying that. I'm sorry, I don't think that'll happen. I think if they were looking to get Shankland to the club, that deal would have been done long ago. I just think this rumbles on. I do agree that if I was Rangers or Celtic, at one point I would have went and signed Shankland, because I think he's the best finisher in Scottish football. I think he's terrific. But the problem with clubs now like Rangers and Celtic, they're looking, I know they brought in a 30-year-old defender to replace an experienced defender, but the motto going forward for these clubs is to buy in young, like Bernardo, 22, 5 years, develop him, probably sell him on for money. Rangers will need to try and go down that route as well. Shankland is magnificent, but the one thing you've got to say is there'll not be any sell-on fee for him. Mm. You know what I mean? You're not going to make money out of him. He'd be baggy goals, but in the long term, there's no value in money.
Good to see you still showing a sense of humour about the situation. I'm sure he won't mind me sharing. I was at Hearts yesterday working with the cameras and so on, and he jogs by on the way up to the pitch and goes, "I can't believe he's here for my last day." He just laughed as he ran on. It was a joke. I'm sure it was a joke before anyone thinks we're exclusively breaking the news, but he's obviously aware of the hype. But Colin, let me get my head around this. Is this purely a distraction tactic, or do you actually want to see him at the club by the end of the window? You don't care, do you? You just try to put them off for the weekend.
Gordon, I do appreciate the boy's talent. We should have made the move for him probably when he was at Air United, when Gerrard was there. I just think the boat has kind of sailed on him at his age, as you say, with the way the club's trying to go. But you win titles with goal scorers. So is this the one you bite the bullet and say, right, we know there's no sell on, but what he gives us back pays off on that.
Yeah, I don't know if hindsight can stretch that far. I mean,
my limit would be £1.5 million regardless.
No chance that would be. Nah. No chance
to. You know, going back to say that Rangers should have done it when he was at Ayr is a stretch, isn't it? I mean, he's doing it at this level now consistently. That's why that maybe last season, if you want to say about hindsight, but I don't know if we go back much further. That certainly, I don't know if something can be a transfer saga if there's never actually any bids or anything, but it's
dragged on for a long time.
Months now, you know, and Stephen Naismith's clearly getting fed up of it, understandably, but it's also getting in the newspapers a lot and doesn't
the player
seem to
be
going away.
And
then, as Colin says, whether Colin's mastermind pays off or not, they do play each other this weekend. So there's a number of outcomes here. Lauren Shankland plays and scores against Rangers, and it becomes a big you should sign him, or he's left out the team. What does that mean? So it can't go anywhere, unfortunately. Right now, let's try and try being the key word here. Let's try and speak to Andrew McLean. I think we're having some difficulty, but we'll try and speak to him in Paisley ahead of kickoff.
Yeah, well, the fans are on their feet at the moment. It is a full stadium display of black, white and gold. And over to my left, it says we'll travel near and far. These St Mirren fans are making the most of what has been 37 years in the making. They're hoping they can witness something special, and they've turned up in their numbers. A sellout crowd, a glorious night in Paisley. You can sense the excitement, plenty of encouragement from how the game went last week. They didn't have that clinical edge, but they need to find it tonight at home. They've had so many happy memories under Stephen Robinson in the last couple of years, but you've got to think progression in Europe would top the lot. Maybe a sign of the opposition they're up against. If I look over to my right, I can actually individually count each Valour fan that is in the away stand. 19 of them have made the journey over from Iceland. This is the type of tie our Scottish teams should be winning. As it stands as well, it would be a trip to Norway on the cards, because Brann are 2-1 up against Go Ahead Eagles. But St Mirren need to focus on the here and now. They're getting their team photo taken at the moment, and then just before kickoff there will be a minute's applause for 1987 Scottish Cup winning captain Billy Abercrombie, who sadly passed away in June. As I say, 37 years it has been since Paisley has experienced a European night. Just listen to the crowd around me at the moment. They cannot wait. They are ready to cheer on their team and hopefully see something special here tonight.
Looking forward to it, and kickoff is next. It sounds good. It sounds like the St Mirren fans are up for it. Let's see what they can do on the pitch tonight. 01419511025. If you want to join in, we'll speak to you and kick off in Paisley after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us. We're on the home straight in Olympic terms. See that?
Yeah.
Come round the bend, you and Brian Graham on tonight's show. It's St Mirren 0, Valour 0, with 90 seconds or so on the clock. So we'll keep an eye on the opening exchanges and hopefully get a nice bright start for St Mirren. Kilmarnock are approaching half time, at half time just about, and they trail by a goal to nil over in Bruges. So a big half time team talk there for Derek McInnes. Hopefully it has the desired effect. Now, usually at this time, the pundits have to get their thinking caps on, team up, and they try and answer the full-time teaser, which is a trivia question sent in by you. So you, if you've never heard it before, it can be anything, you know, it's creative license, but maybe something like, can you name the last 10 players to score a hat-trick in the Scottish Premiership? Or can you name the last 5 players to do X, Y or Z? It's that type of thing. And the beauty of it is you send them in. So you come up with a question, email it fulltime@clyde1.com, and we ask the pundits to answer your question round about this time in the show. So we're saving them all up for next week. We're going to get stuck right back in. So get thinking over the weekend and email me, please, fulltime@clyde1.com. I was hoping we'd get one. Let's round it off. Finish on a high. A Partick Thistle fan on for Brian Graham. Yeah. How's it going, James?
Good evening, Gordon and Brian. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
There's no nerves attached. You see sometimes that like, you've got a player in and you see their fan base phone and you think, he might have a pop at this guy, and it's awkward. Nobody says anything bad about Brian. Boring. Anyway, take it away, James.
No, just first of all, just to wish Brian and the players, all the players in the first team and the women's team all the best for the next season.
Thanks very much.
Very welcome, Brian. Just to see what your thoughts are, just thinking, the manager seems to have added some good players. Some would say we've maybe got a wee bit more creativity. We've got Kyle back on the set PCs, a couple of new wingers who look pretty good. Are you confident of scoring more goals than last year?
Oh, wow. You're pretty high. How many was it?
26 last year.
More than that.
So, and I've done it every year. I've been there. I've scored more than the previous season.
Oh, jeez.
I've got Dazzler's throat on now.
Is 26 your highest?
28. I think.
Is that all
Combos, by the way?
There you go. That's why it's 28 at Wraith. I'm about 10 less than you.
35.
But you...
Christmas.
That's all competitions.
Yep.
And what, you've got three already, no? Three?
three so already for it. So I need to get to try and get to 27. So
you missed a certain third part, I've got to say.
You'd have missed that.
The one that come across the box.
No, that wasn't me. You missed that.
The one you slid in.
Mate, you couldn't get in. Mate, that.
You've got to be sharper.
Oh, come
toe.
On,
come on, James. You agree with me?
I'm 6 foot three and I've stretched around. I've got my stretch. If you're a
sharp striker, you're anticipating that boom.
You're in
the next round. So, James, as much as you're praising him, a bit of negativity coming from me.
We don't have time for these games.
I was leaning back.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Love that for you, James.
Semi-seriously, what are the hopes for this season? What have you made of the team and all your thoughts ahead of the new campaign?
No, I think the manager's strengthened the club and he's still trying to add a few in. We're still light in a few areas, but we've got a good nucleus of a squad. We've got high hopes and same as everybody else in the league this year, there's no money powerhouse that can go and have the biggest budget. So everybody's going to fancy their chances and we're no different. We're getting into it with high hopes. Fingers crossed we can win the league this year.
How much does that change things? Because last few seasons, there's a Dundee United, Oracle Marnock, even going back, obviously there was that mad spell where Hearts and Hibs and Rangers, St Mirren were in it round about that period as well. That's really, really kind of evened itself out level, now, hasn't it?
It's a definite level this year. And as I said, everybody's going to have hopes of looking at the table going, there's nobody going to have the big, massive budget this year. Every single team's got a chance. But I believe in our squad. Captain of the club will try and lead them to the championship title. And
what would that mean to you?
It'd be very special. I've been through a lot at Partick Thistle in a short period of time, and I've got 2 years left in my contract. If I could get them to the Premier League and finish in the Premier League and then ping the boots in the peg, then it'd be a brilliant story.
Depends where you look, Gordon. I mean, please gamble responsibly and all that. There's not much. I thought I'd just have a look. I hadn't checked. Wraith, just about favourites where I'm looking, but Partick in there as well.
Airdrie will be around about there.
But honestly, right, you can genuinely go through right and say, I mean, Livy, they've just come down from the Premiership, and Davy Martindale, knows his stuff. You can say Ayr have chucked a bit at it. You can make that.
Falkirk
are a massive club.
You can honestly make the case for
a lot of the teams.
It'll be a terrific championship. A lot of good teams in there, a lot of good players in there. You're right, and Partick have been so close in the last couple of seasons. Probably learnt from that. You look at the support that they can carry as well. I was very impressed with these at the weekend against Motherwell, I must say. But Brian's right. For a captain to lead your team to the championship, top goal scorer and be a hero, it's a great feeling. Oh,
it's all in the dazzle. It's all in the dazzle.
Unbelievable.
I'll have to end the show.
It's going to be good. Obviously, Falkirk went back, that adds something, doesn't it? Football's a meritocracy. I don't always get sucked in by the fact that big clubs don't deserve to be anywhere. You need to win when you win,
right.
And they've finally done that, to be fair, in spectacular fashion. And see them back in the division.
No, manager of the year last year, Joe McGlynn. So he's a guy I've worked with previously, really nice man. He'll have his team well drilled. I think they'll be up there challenging, if I'm being honest. And we need to be as a club up there challenging as well. It's a very exciting season, the championship, as it always is, but this year I think it'll be more exciting because there's no big money house.
Yeah, reason I mentioned it, of course, Falkirk Queen's Park kicking things off. In fact, raising the curtain on the new SPFL season. So the first league game to be played is tomorrow. It's in the championship, Falkirk against Queen's Park. Still St Mirren 0, Valour 0. You are about to rush off from here, as the caller alluded to. You're still the head coach of Partick Thistle women's team. Got to a cup final last season. It's back-to-back top half finishes, isn't it?
Back-to-back, yep.
And yet every year, the obviously Glasgow's big three, if you like, but particularly Celtic and Rangers, more and more money. Is it getting tougher? How do you go again this season?
I think this year will be extremely tough. I think the top five have spent more money this year again. So for ourselves and the rest of the bottom half, it's going to be extremely difficult to compete against them. But we'll still have that belief and character that we've always have. We want to go and finish top six again. There's three teams go down this year. They're cutting the league to 10 teams, so there's a lot at stake this year. So, but we believe in what we've done. We've recruited quite well. We're still looking at one or two positions that we're trying to fill, but we're hoping for another big season.
What to do is see the night before you play Hibs in the opener, just phone them, bid for one of their players and try and throw them off their game the next day. Well, we wish you well.
Thank you.
Brian Graham, thank you very much for joining us tonight. It was great to have Brian for the first time. Hopefully we'll have him back as the season goes on. As for you, we won't get rid of you, unfortunately. You're here for the long haul. Still St Mirren 0, Villar 0, 10 on the clock. No real glaring chances yet, but hopefully Stevie Robinson's side can kick on. And a big half-time team talk for Derek McInnes. Killy trail at half-time over in Bruges, 1-0 down. Hopefully a comeback in the second half, and we've got Scottish success in Europe to celebrate tomorrow. We are back at 6 on the eve of the Premiership season, on the night that the Championship season kicks off. Right now, somewhere in his man cave, Hugh Keevans is rocking back and forward with excitement ahead of the new season. We'll speak to him tomorrow, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good night.